Okay, so let's jump right in. Like any halacha shir, I think it's very important to have somebody that you ask, because at the end of the day, there's so many opinions. There's two rabbis, you have three opinions. So you should have your rabbi that you go to ask any lemaisa shailas. But it's good to feel like you have an idea of what you're talking about, and not just ask, you know, what about kidneys? And he'll ask you maybe, something specific. You won't know what he's talking about. So it's good to know, you know, general ideas. So today I figure we'll go through the Inyan Kidneos, and it's based on a compilation of sources Rabbi Simon put together, Rabbi Shiva at YU. So I didn't do that much work, but we could look at it inside. You'll have the sources inside, not just saying it outside. We could learn it together and maybe come out with a little bit more knowledge than we knew beforehand. So if you look at your packets here, I have them up front. If anyone needs, we have a Mishnah here. Imsachim Lamahem and Aleph. And the Mishnah says, I tried to bracket off and put some arrows. Every time I like to do that too, but I kind of shortened it a little bit so that, you know, we're shorter on time. So the first Mishnah says here, Elu Dvarim Sha'adam Yotzi Behem Yidechel Vasuba Pesach, Chitim Sa'orin Kusbin Shifun Shibola Shual. So those are the five grains. Those are the five grains on Pesach. We know that things that could be chametz on Pesach are only the five grains. And the Gemara says that's the only, Mishnah says, that's the only thing you can be yotzei matzah is with these five grains. It seems like already from the Mishnah that everything else, all other types of grains, you can't use it for matzah, but there's no issue with eating it. And if you jump down to the Gemara here, there's an arrow there. It starts about in the middle of the page. It says, Mas nisin, d'loke Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, d'amar orez min dogonhu. So the Gemara tells us there's an opinion that says rice, orez, is part of the minei dagon, and you would be chayav kares if you would eat it on Pesach. We don't I don't know if we hold that it's minei dagon, but there's an opinion that says that you can. The only problem with eating the orez is you can't use it for matzah, but you still chayav kares on it. But the question, we don't pass it like that. We say that it's kidneys. We say that there's no issue with eating the orez. There's no issue with orez necessarily, says the Mishnah. There's only an issue of making it your matzah. You're not allowed to make it your matzah. So, again, the source of kidneys is a little unclear. Somebody told me from Rosh Weiss that he said there's no real psak in the Rishodim or in Talmudic sources that say kidneys are also because of this. Like, it just shows that you can use anything on Pesach. You just can't use everything for matzah. It's more specific. So we'll delve into the sources a little deeper to find out maybe some more information. Because right here it just says five dagon, and then that's pretty much all you know. Everything else seems to be mutter. So that was the first page. On the back of that page, you're double-sided, I'm not. So on the back, you have another Gemara in Mem Amud Beis. And here is Rav Papi, and he permitted the bakers, the Bordekis in Resh Gilusa, to Memcha, the Kedera, to smash up certain seeds. Rabbi Simon explained it to mean that they were thickening the dough, and the Safaria website said they translated to remove some of the foam that was in the batter. And they used a certain legume. And Rava says that we have to be machmir when there is shchichi de'avdi, means that people are not careful with the halachos, like the slaves, they don't know the halachos of Pesach, so we have to be machmir because they're going to put in the wrong thing. They're going to put in chametz, and they're not the chasisi, which is mutter, but they're going to put in one of the five dagan, and it's going to become chametz, and there's going to be an issue. So if you look on Taisus on the bottom, he points out that the chasisi was, if you look on the last line, he says that chasisi, the last couple words, chasisi kemach shel adashim. The reason why it was permitted, and Rava says it was permitted, because it was a kemach of adashim. It was lentils. It was lentils ground up into flour, and that seemed to be permissible on Pesach to make flour, to make the matzah, and add these lentil flours. Even though we would assume lentils would be kidneys, which translates into legumes, something that you can make into a flour. It seemed to be permissible because this is another source that this could be permissible on Pesach. So where are the sources that tell us that where does this minhag come from that we're not allowed to eat kidneys? Because right now we've just seen sources that permit this kind of thing. So where's the issurim? So We'll get there in a minute, but the Rambam in Mishnah Torah on the next page, on page 3, he in the Mishnah Torah, he summarized the Gemara, and he even said that you should read my Mishnah Torah, and that the reason why I'm calling it Mishnah Torah is because all you need to do is read my Mishnah Torah, and you don't even read anything else, because I summarized the entire Torah in one halachic work. And here he says, Ein Osir, the first halacha in Perikei, in Hilchas Chametz Umatzah, Osir Mishum Chametz BePesach. What is Osir? El chameshes minei dagan. Only chameshes minei dagan babad, because they are, he says, chametz, because they're machmetz. There's a, as Rav Shechter explained in one of his shiurim, there's a chemical reaction that happens in these five grains that doesn't happen in any other grain. You can make bread and other things from other stuff, but he says that's not the chametz that the Gemara was talking about. That's something else. That might be called sirchan, which means that it was spoiling. It resembles the same type of leavening, but it's not the same chemical reaction. But only the five minei dagan have this kind of chemical property. And he lists them. And then he writes four lines down. Aval ha-kitnios kigon orez v'dochen u-polin v'adashim, which was used in the Gemara and Memamabez, v'chiyotzi ben ein bahem mishum chametz elafilu lash kamach, etc. So he says, because of the last word, he's a elish sirchon, meaning you're allowed to use these things. The Rambam says, again, we don't see an isser here by orez. We know the Ashkenazim are very machmir. We don't use orez. So all these sources, let's see someone who brings up this isser, because right now it's very unclear what to do. So the first source that we have that's going to shed light on this is in the Smak on page 4. The Smak, Rabbi Simon explains, sometimes when people quote the Smak, they're usually referring to the Hagos on the bottom here. All the you see there's very little on top, but there's a lot of explanation here on the bottom. That's not the Smak, that's the Rabbeinu Peretz. If you see on the bottom, it's a smak, and then the last line is im hagos Rabbeinu Peretz. So usually quoting from Rabbeinu Peretz. So here, we have a little bit of an idea of why we're machmir by kitnios. So if you see here the arrow, the first word, on the line of al ha-kitnios, kigon, all these things, he says in the Lashonis that he was familiar with, adashim, etc. Rabuseinu noagim bahem iser shelola ochlam bepesach klal. So there's an iser, but why? The rabbis were very machmir that they wouldn't eat all these things that resemble the chamishim min hadagan. Why? The Gemara didn't seem to aser it. There seems to be no problem. So if you jump down, he explains, l'kach nira, you see that second arrow, l'kayim haminog v'la aser kol kitnios b'pesach, v'lo mach maschim otz atzmo ki tosu. It's not because they were worried, the rabbis, it's a shaila, maybe it's a suffic kitnios. Maybe it really is chametz, and we don't know. Maybe it is one of the dagan. That's not true, because the Gemara lists off the five, and everything else is mutter. So he says, if somebody's going to say, they were machmir because it was a suffic, they weren't sure if it was chametz or not. That's not the right, that's a mistake. That can't be the reason. So what is the reason? Ella mitam gzeiruhu, dekevan dekitnios maise gederuhu, v'dagan nami maise gederuhu. Kedaisa, as an example, is Daisa. So what does he say? And the first reason of the Rabbeinu Peretz is that one reason you're not allowed to eat kitnios on Pesach is because you can make a rice pudding just like you can make a wheat porridge, hot cereals. They look very similar. So if someone's going to come and make a rice cereal on Pesach, so it's going to be very similar to the wheat, the hot cereal, and someone's going to confuse it and say, if he's making that cereal, so I can make my own wheat cereal. And they're going to come and make actual chametz, and it's going to be a very big problem. So that first din of the reason why we're machmir kitnius is because it looks very similar when you make the hot cereals, the daisa. So that's the first reason. Okay? He then quotes a second reason. He says, Ihavi de shadino na kitnius ulai yasi lehachlufe heter daisa. Okay, that's part of the same first reason. He says, Kevon da ayi vi'idi vi'idi maise kedero vegan midi de midgan. So here's the second reason. Midi de midgan. They're maise kedera midi de midgan, which means is that they're stored in a silo. You know, you store wheat and in these bags, and they're afraid that maybe if you store the orez, the way they store orez and other types of legumes and grains, they store it in the same way. If you ever walk in the shuk, in Machane Yehud, you see all these like bags, and they have all these things in it. I think even the picture that Rabbi Charnoff sent out in the email, they had everything mixed together because they store, all these things are stored in very similar ways. So what's the problem? The problem is we're afraid. If you're going to store everything together, then it's going to get mixed up. And when you cook your rice, you're not going to realize there's wheat in there, and you're going to come to eat the wheat itself, and that's going to be a problem. And we know chametz is aser b'kolshu, b'mashu. You can't be batel chametz, even if there's a million rice to one little grain of wheat. There's no batel by chametz; it's aser b'mashu. Amashu means any amount. I don't know if there's a. We explained there's like any amount. There's no bittel by chametz, and
No.
Right, there's no din of batal b'shisha by chametz, and this, the more chassidish svarim point out, why are we so machmir by chametz? It's like a weird thing that like all the Jews, one little piece of chametz you can't have. Why are we so machmir? Usually we have this din of bittel. So they explain because we're so machmir because it's like a mashal for us that the chametz doesn't just represent a physical food, it actually represents our yetzahara, which you have to vat. There's no bittel by yetzahara; you have to get rid of it legamri. You can't have a shmek of bed, and you try to get rid of everything. We try to do as much as we can to get rid of it entirely. And when Mashiach comes, Hashem's going to shecht it completely. It's going to be gone because that's the ideal, to have no yetzahara, to be able to serve Hashem with kula l'tova. So that's a remez to the chametz inside all of us. It's just that's derech agav. But he quotes a third reason, and the third reason is on the bottom here, the last line. I forgot to put an arrow there, but it's important. He says, "Gam yesh mekomos shiragilin lasos mehem pas kimo chamishes minei dagan." So, what's another reason? The last reason of the Brei and Peretz quotes is that if you take rice and you make it into flour and you add the water, you can kind of make it look like a bread. And even though maybe it's not exactly a challah, but it kind of resembles a challah, rice bread or corn, whatever, breads. And that might be a problem, because similar to the first reason, people are going to confuse it and going to have their actual bread that's chametz gomer, and it's going to be a big issue. So another reason of the Berbeinu Peretz is you can make a bread out of it.
What's the difference between the first
and the second? So the first and second. So, it doesn't seem like there's a difference, but it's a good question. There could be examples where the legume is not able to be made into a porridge, but you still need to be machmir because, for example, cornbread is very popular. So cornbread might be, if you didn't have the third reason, it might not be a porridge, corn porridge, but you have the problem of the being made into bread, which could be including other things that aren't being made into daisa.
What about like potato bread?
Oh, so potato is a whole other sugi that I have here, because he talks about it. Potatoes seem to be a very big issue. We'll talk about it. I think that's the next page here, even. We'll get there, but that's a very good point. He points out that, this is weird, because he points out on the next page here on 5, there's this one line I want to read. Lemine yirakos kigon karuv and krashim and yotibahen. Those, there's no problem, because those don't look like bread. Like, no one makes carrot bread. We make carrot muffins, but I'm pretty sure those aren't healthy. Like, people, oh, carrot muffins are very healthy. Like, they're just like maybe slivers of carrot, but it's mostly wheat and sugar, whatever. Banana bread, right. But like yirakos, he says, are not included. But potatoes, there's a whole sugya of potatoes. But so I think the yirakos he means is like carrots and things like that. But those are the three reasons. Again, you can make it into daisa, you can store it together with other real chametz gomer, or three is it can be made into bread. So if you look in the Torah, try to go a little quicker, try to finish on time here. So if you look in the Torah, Elu dvarim shiyotzi behen yidei chovasa, but past the same similar idea that we've seen before, chitin, saor, and kusvish, shival, shual, shifon, etc. Aval ba'orez v'doichin, v'shar minim, he says, you could cook with that. You can make rice pudding on Pesach, no problem. But then, if you look in the last line, v'yesh oster and le'echol orez. But there are those who are more machmir with orez. V'chol mine kitnios. Why? L'fisha mine chitin misarvin bahan. So, which reason is that? That's the second reason we saw in Rabbeinu Peretz, that it's mine demidgon. It's stored together. So they're, the Torah said there are those who are machmir, that they don't eat orez or any kitnios because they're afraid there's going to be some wheat mixed into it. But he says, it's interesting, he points out, chumra yiseirahi velo nagu kain. He says, we don't have this minug. So we just learned that the Rabbeinu Peretz says you should be machmir. But the Torah is saying, that is a reason that people do, but we don't have that minug, says the Torah. So does that mean that we could eat orez? So maybe. But then if you look at the Beis Yosef from the same page, even though I bracketed off on the previous page also, but here at the last three lines of the Beis Yosef, where he likes to quote the sources of the Torah, and the Beis Yosef is the same person who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, Yosef Cairo. So he writes there, Kol ze b'shem smak, which he means Rabbeinu Peretz, which we saw already. That was on page 4, one of the pages. We had the Rabbeinu Peretz. V'leis dechash d'dvarim alalu zulasi ha'ashkenazim. So he says, nope, the Svaradim are the only ones who are Mekel. But the Ashkenazim were very nervous. They had this Chumrah, Mizarvin Behem. And if you look at the next page, that's the Ramah. You see the Ramah. And then page 8, at the last line, he says, V'yesh Osrin, Uminog Be'Ashkenaz Lahachmir. So the Shulchan Aruch said you're allowed to, and the Ramah, who's the Ashkenazic rabbi, he says, there's what to be Machmir on. So that's where our Minog comes from. We don't eat orez on Pesach. We consider that kidneyos. But Svardim, they don't have this minog. And by Simon pointing out that there are certain Svardim who are machmir by orez, as we'll see later on, I think in a Prichadosh, that's on page 10. If you want to look at the Prichadosh on page 10, he writes that there's a Gemara at the last two lines. He says, there's a Gemara that they said they went to check the orez three times in storage, and they found that there were wheat there three times. So kind of like a chazaka, that orez might be have like the way they process the grains of rice. They're more machmir by rice, and there's even Sephardic Jews that don't eat orez on Pesach, he said. His mother's Turkish. She doesn't eat, her family didn't eat orez on Pesach. Moroccans, I heard too. That's right. From Yonah Hazan told me that. That rice, certain Sephardim are even more machmir specifically on orez, but they're made up by other things because rice has an extra din of this chazaka that there might be wheat in that you can't necessarily take out. So,
Rabbi,
yeah.
You're 100%
sure that that's
probably completely
right. We'll get there. It's a great question. In fact, the OU is matir kinwa for that exact reason. For multiple reasons, but one of the reasons is because they feel like they have a supervision and there's no midi de midgun, it's not a problem. And they also feel there's other reasons by kinwa that it's not a problem. So the OU recently, I think it was 2013, I saw this come out, that they matured kinwa. They have an OUP on a lot of the kinwa coming out around Pesach time because there's a specific supervision that nothing got mixed in. But kinwa is the last thing in the packet. I have some things on kinwa. So we saw the Rama and Rabbeinu Peretz and the Shulchan Aruch for the Svardim. Their Mekel, Rama was Machmir. And I think one of the lines in the Taz, let me see which page it is for you guys. Yeah, page 8, the Taz on top. Taz is all the way on top. The Magen Avraham is that little piece underneath it. But the Taz here says, Yesh Osrin. So he's on the Rama. He writes, "Who's Osir? The tour. Why is the tour Machmir? Why was the tour quoting a Machmir thing? He says because it's Miss Arvin, and he says that the Smak said because it's Vishum Shiroi Lasos Isaman. You can make a pass. So it's interesting how he gave, even though the Smak, the Rabbeinu Peretz quoted three reasons. The Iker reason was the bread for the Smak, and the Iker reason for the tour was the Miss Arif. It's an interesting point that he makes. But he adds an Iker Shein Chumra. Look at this. If you go down, I think I put an arrow in it. Actually, I don't think so. But it's equivalent with the arrow from the Aleph of the Shulchan Aruch here. It starts the Eini Yodea. He right above that he says Chardal. The Rama says Chardal. What's Chardal?
Mustard seeds.
Ein Oichlim bePesach. The Rama was Machmir, but even Machmir on a Chardal. That doesn't make any sense. Chardal is mustard. They're not making bread out of it. They're not storing it with. What's the problem? So the Taz has a big klal. He says, "Eini yode lama yishtana me'anias," whatever that is. Why is it different? He says, "Nir hatam lefisha gidol hachardel b'sharvitin." Duim legidol kitnios. He says that mustard seeds, I looked this up because I wasn't sure if this was true, but mustard seeds grow in pods. They do. I looked it up. You should search it on Google. How do mustard seeds grow? They grow in like a little pod. It's really cool. So we're machmir, says the Taz, by anything that grows in a pod. Peas in a pod, peas, chardel, things that are pods. So a big thing is peanuts. They have like a pod. So these kind of things, we all consider them all kidneyos, says the Taz, if you're machmir by kidneyos. Anything that grows in a pod, because that's how kidneyos grow. So the legumes. So that's why he includes chardal. But that's the klal of the Taz, the famous klal yisod of the Taz. Anything that's in a pod is going to be considered kidneyos, regardless if you can make disa out of it, regardless if you can make it out of pas. Peas would be included in that klal. I think I saw on the OU website that maybe Chabad.org had that listed as one of them, green, the snow peas, snap peas. Okay, so that is the famous Yisod of the Taz. So if you jump to the Prichadosh I already mentioned before, that was the idea that they were machmir by orez. Even Svardin might be machmir on orez now because of the three times they checked and they found chita inside the orez. So that's the Prichadosh. So now I want to go to potatoes because I think this is more lemaisa. So the potatoes. What about potatoes? So potatoes is an interesting question because potatoes, does it have any of the three categories that we talked about? So maybe yes, because as Simon pointed out, everyone makes their cookies and cake out of potato starch. That's what everyone does. I mean, there's no more kidneys apparently than that. You're making your bread out of, that's literally like one of the main reasons. That's one of the Taz quoted that as the main reason of the smack. So maybe we have to be machmir. You know, by potatoes. So if you look in the Chai Adam, you know, people like the Mishaburu, some people like the Chai Adam. The Chai Adam writes by Hilchas Pesach here. In the middle of the tshuva, he writes, Shamati, in one of these, in a city that they had Ra'av Gadol, the Ashkenaz. The Ashkenazim had this giant famine one year. He writes what year it was, Tuf Kuf Lamed Aleph. In Ireland.
Actually?
No, was it Ireland?
There wasn't
a famine
in Ireland.
They had a famine. They had a... Yeah, this is a long... So the Ashkenazim had a famine. So what happened? That means that they were lacking a lot of the food. But what did they were able to do then? The Chabezdin was Matir Bulbis, Shekorin Erd Apple. Ki ba'ashkenaz ein oichlin gam kein bulbis ki shem oisin kamach mehen. The gam hi tiru kitnios of a lo bine grupin. Okay, so what happened? There was a famine, and they didn't have what to make matzah with. So they were matir this bulbis, an Erd Apple. Erd Apple in Yiddish, I think, means fruit of the earth, which translates to potatoes. So maybe potatoes, we have to be machmir, he says. If it wasn't a famine, apparently the basin wouldn't have matured potatoes. And Rabbi Simon say it's a hard to matur potatoes because it's mamish used for bread and for cookies and cakes, everything. Potato, pizza, that's what they use for everything. So potatoes, it seems like from the Chayodim, from this case of the basin of the Ashkenaz in the city, that they wouldn't have matured it otherwise. It was a shasat chak, they had nothing else to use for matzah. So they or for anything, they're able to use this for food on Pesach, even though maybe it's normally kitnios. So one of the things he quoted in Shir, one of the ideas we said, was maybe it's just a loophole, maybe just because people didn't have what to use for they can't use it, they don't use it during the year. You're not going to find the potato cakes during the year, because no one sells that in the supermarkets, because that's not good. You know, it's only because of Pesach that people started using potatoes, and it came out, you know, semi... you know, edible or it's good enough that people who need their cake, they want the cake fixed, so they're able to use it. So maybe the ikkar usage of potato is not just to make cakes, it's just on Pesach people use it to make cakes. So maybe that's not the pas.
Maybe because they're so big that they won't get confused and mixed up. Like, for example, beans might get mixed up with rice.
Yeah. So you don't have the midi de migon issue.
Yeah.
The only issue that could be is that you can make mashed potatoes maybe similar to farina. Yeah.
So that's not reason number two.
That's only two. But you still have the pass issue, yeah.
You go on, you see this program, it's like, it's not bread.
It's not much bread. You go on some of these programs, it looks like...
You're eating like it's not Pesach.
So, yeah, but this doesn't fall into the Taz's thing about a pod, anything in a pod. The potatoes don't go in pods. That's where Simon mentioned it. The pod issue.
But, like, with the potatoes, isn't it weird the first time that we hear that there was an Isser Bechlal?
Yeah.
Is it a Shuvah with a Hector? Meaning, like... is it possible that it was a local Isser in that location that didn't maybe extend?
Right.
There's no record of it before that.
Right. This seems to be the first tshuva about potatoes.
First time we see it is in the Keter for it, not the Isser for it.
True. Right. So Rishayim explained to the Mashmos
was
as well. Yeah, every time I explained that it's mashma, that it was always Aser, and that this was a Shas Atchak. But I hear, that's what he said, but I hear what he said also. But it seems like potatoes would be an issue. But you have, again, the Taz that said the pods, that was part of the requirement, and obviously potatoes aren't grown in pods. So then you have to look at the other three. And if it's not really used for pas, now we use it for pas, but, you know, we're not going to confuse it with real wheat, you know, daisa and things like that. And it's not stored together. So really the only issue is the pas. But I don't know if people usually use that during the year.
No.
You know, no one uses it during the year.
It's not brand new.
But you're saying from appearance, like, tehillah would be the best way to use potatoes, right? So it seems like we're obviously makel by potatoes. I don't know how Rabbi Simon would pass him about potato. Maybe he'd be, but
you're down to like meat. And
you're done with all, right?
You're
right.
Just eating meat for 8 days straight.
Right.
Potato. He's gonna have potatoes.
Potatoes is everything on Pesach. That's everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Fish. Okay, so that's potatoes. But on a side note, Rav Abadi, who's a posek in Lakewood, he says an interesting chumra. He says on potato starch, he makes a hadama on potato starch because he holds that it's a machlokas whether if you crush something, does it retain its bracha. So he holds if you crush up the potatoes into a powder, it still retains its hadama. Similar to applesauce. Even without chunkiness, it's completely smooth. He says hadama on that as well. Many people say that you should say a shahakal on these things, but an interesting aside. Majority view is the shahakol. Yeah. Rav Simon said it's a, you know, it's a machlokas rishonim, but still most people paskin the shahakol. But it's an interesting aside that Pringles, what bracha do you make on Pringles? So Rabadi says you should make a shahakol. I mean, a dumb on Pringles. Most people say shahakol because it's crushed. That's an interesting aside, the bracha on potato starch. But that's the potatoes, and I think we're going to end the last two cases is the peanuts and the quinoa, and then we'll end with this. So Rav Moshe, I'm not going to read it inside. Rav Moshe had this the inyan of peanuts. You see on page 15. Be inyan peanut im yesh bo chashash iser mina kitnios. Rav Moshe has a whole long tshuva. And the ikard nekuda to take out of the Rav Moshe is that it's all about takanas bezdin. There was no takana. If you look throughout Shas and even the Rishonim, you see in the Rambam that there was no iser kitnios. It was mutter, just can't use it for chmatzah. So there was no takanas based in. It was just a minog that surfaced, that people were nervous. You read this adairis. You know, who knows what who's gonna confuse what. So he says you could be makel as long as there's as long as your minog was to be makel. If your minog was to be machmir, then it's good to be machmir. But it's all minog. It's not a takanas based in. We're not so machmir that it was a takana that it can't change. You know, minog Yisrael, there were so many minhagim. You see people with l'chumra, you see the Rabbeinu Peretz was l'chumra, but you see the Rambam and Svardim are all the kula. So, you know, you can't base kinyos. Oh, is kinwa fall under the svara of the Rabbeinu Peretz? Does this grain fall under the svara? It's not about svara, it's all about minog. If your location were machmir for all kinyos, then just be machmir. If your location didn't worry about it, then don't worry about it. There's no takam. Right. So this would help with potatoes, this helps with different types of peanuts. So what does he say by peanuts, basically, is that it's not tali on svara, it's just tali on the takana, and it's a minog. It's just a chumra. So you could say that peanuts are similar to other things, like growing in a pod, you know, it's not stored, though. The only thing is about the store, it's only about the pod, that's the taz. I don't think they're stored in a silo. It could be they're stored in a silo also. But lemaisa, it's about your minog. That's what he says here. It's somewhere in the middle, if you want to look around. In the Ramosha, the Iker is in the middle, he says it's all about a minhag. So it's a big chiddush, because then he says if you're Mekel, you can go Lakula. If you're Ashkenazim, Svardim, also it could be a Chumra, if you're Svardi. But the Avnei Nezer outside, I photocopied it if you want to look into the Avnei Nezer also, the father of the Shemi Shmuel, he usually writes Chassidish Torahs on the Parsha, but he has a lot of halachic works as well. So here he writes, outside I could tell you that he quotes the Taz about the pod, and that peanuts were the issue of the pod, and therefore it's going to be a problem. So the minhag is to aser peanuts because they're grown in pods, and we know the Taz said mustard seeds, even though they can't be made into anything, it's a pod, and it's an issue. So peanuts, we treat as kitnios. Most Ashkenazim, I don't really know of anywhere that they're makel. Maybe in a place they're always makel, so it could be that they eat peanuts. But
so, really, for any seed,
we're going to get there.
Sunflower seeds.
Is that a pod? It is a pod? Shell? All nuts, I think we consider, no? Maybe not. I don't know. All nuts in general. No, we definitely use nuts. We definitely use nuts on Pesach. I've seen the whole shelf. Everyone uses nuts on Pesach. But there are certain... what's the definition of a pod? We have to look into it. Does it mean that there's multiple seeds in one thing? Or does it mean each individual thing is in a... That's more like a shell, like a klipa.
No, or is it...
Sunflower seed.
It's defined as something separate.
Sometimes these are mutter.
Because a sesame seed is really defined by the shell with like the little seed inside.
But right.
The shell, I think, is like part of it. It's supposed to be a pod. Just
right. I think a pod might be has multiple seeds. Like, you think of a classic, you know, pea.
Reaper,
yeah, something like that. This looks more like a klipa, like a shell, than anything. With the seed in the middle that was edible. So, it's a good question. I mean, quinoa is going to fall into that similar category, because what is it? You know, how does it grow? Things like that. So, this is a food for thought. This is when you do your Yoredeya. Shelly, I know you're going to do your Yoredeya one day. So, when you go to someone's house, like Svardim, you have Svardic friends. I'm sure you guys have Svardic friends. I went to a Svardic house on Pesach. They use kitnios, a lot of them. So are you allowed to eat from their kalim? Because they're cooking with kitnios. You know, they just made rice in the same pot that they're making you a Pesach-free potato mix, or whatever, depending on if you eat potatoes. But they're making you something kosher for Pesach with a pot that was just used for kitnios. Can you use that pot? So it was a whole din of, you know, what applied to Enu Ben Yomos and Bittles. And it's an interesting idea.
It's not like a second degree of separation.
This is food for thought, because there's a whole, you could give a whole cheer on this alone by using someone's pots with kidneys. Sex fake. So if it's even it's us, or even in the first place. Yeah, so the sex fake is, yeah.
You have to throw a
kidney
scam in your house.
Oh, the Ramah, I forgot to mention that. But if you look in the Ramah, you're Mechave, the Ramah on page page 9, wherever that is, he says on the bottom here, V'chein mutter lehashos mini kitnios bebayis. You're allowed to keep it. There's no iser on or owning kitnios.
Like having to like make sure that it's out of sight or that.
There's no bayir or bayi matzah by kitnios.
Okay, so
there's no iser. The only, because again, there's all chumrah. The Gemara didn't mention this being aser. The Gemara just said you can't use it for matzah.
Yeah.
Okay, the last one. You just came for the right time. We're going to talk about quinoa. Quinoa is a superfood. It just in the past decade, it's become very popular. You know, I don't even know if it's been that long. A lot of people think it's very healthy, and people love it. And the question is it kitnios? So if you look in the Chevel Nachala, so he talks about it. I only Xeroxed one of it. Rabbi Simon put the whole tshuva in. But he quotes the Ramosha. He says, Igris Moshe Yesh Lahatir as Kol Shimushe Hakinua. This is quinoa. Bein Lamapa, Tavshil, Bein Lashem, etc., etc., etc. He quotes Ramosha. What was Ramosha's Shita? It's all about the Minog. Minog Avos, right? So what's the Minog? The Minog is, if your Minog is that you had refrain from quinoa, then you should be refraining from quinoa on Pesach. If you were mutter by quinoa, if you were at a kula by quinoa, you can eat quinoa. But what's the problem? The problem is, 20 years ago, they never used quinoa. So what are you going to do? It's a new fad in our superfoods. Quinoa, farro, all these grains that they probably didn't eat. They became very popular recently. So there's no minhag avos. Your parents probably didn't have quinoa on Pesach just because they didn't have quinoa in the stores. So now what do you do? It's a good question, because your motion might not apply because there's no minhag. It's hard to say. So how does quinoa grow? You know, is it immediate to midgun? Do we store it?
I don't think you make bread out of quinoa.
I've seen quinoa flour sold in stores.
I appreciate the store to see what you store.
You've seen quinoa flour in stores? In like Trader Joe's and Whole Foods, I'm sure they have quinoa flour.
Can't you just make it up?
What?
Okay, we either say no or yes. Whoever says yes is good. Whoever says no, it's not. I can't just do that.
Right, so but the question is, should we say no? Is there a reason to say no? Is there a reason to say no? Or are you just
being... Why not say yes?
So you're mechami really to the Ma'aril, right? On the back, in the last page, 26. The
right,
back of the... On the back of the packet, the entire back. He writes on that, I put the second arrow. Mikol mokom gozru kol mine kidneos atu hema. He was nervous. The Ma'aril was nervous about everything. So he's kind of machmir in every kidneos. Anything that's a grain or resembles a grain or has a shayla, he was machmir. Pashtus says, Bikol mine kidneos means any type of kidneos. Which...
Would you say no potatoes?
Who?
The Ma'aril said no potatoes.
Right, so there's a question. I don't know about potatoes. The Chayadim seemed to say it was usser. But we use potatoes. I know the OU matured quinoa. OU matured quinoa based on... I could read to you. It doesn't go in a pod, neither does corn, but quinoa doesn't...
It's in a pod, though, so that might be... That's like a big pod.
What?
Corn is in a massive... Like,
yeah, I hear that.
It's in a
why would we usher corn, though?
Because
corn makes bread. Corn makes good meal. People serve corn breads all year.
Call the covering a pod.
Yeah. Corn bread is used all year. Quinoa bread, I don't know if you see quinoa bread.
If you mix it up with a bunch of stuff, you might not be able to realize it, especially
right.
If it's dry.
Right. Right. Quinoa, I think they classify as like a plant-based superfood / maybe a berry of sorts.
Because you see all these roots, and these really awesome snacks. And
yeah. It's all the Oakley kidneys on the back, right?
I was looking for meat. I was looking for barbecue with my eyes, and couldn't find meat that was
Penny?
What?
Penny?
Oh, he wasn't there. Oh, I wish. No, but like, apparently he may have seen him in Israel, though.
Yeah, he may have seen him here in Shema Shas recently.
Yeah. So apparently, like there's no meat that says like kosher things after the low.
Right. It all says Oakley kidneys. I mean, at the end of the day, there's shitas that say to be machmir. No, you was makel. I think for what somebody was saying, I think Yara was saying that they looked into it, and there's a special supervision for Pesach that they watch it. I don't know if it's Bishas Ktiro or Bishas Lisha. But they watch the kidneys. They watch the quinoa from when it's harvested. That they at a certain point they watch it and they make sure there's no wheat, because that could be a problem. Meat dimidgo might be the only issue if it's stored and they might get mixed in. So if they filter it out really well and there's a Jew watching it, so they feel comfortable giving a hashkacha on it because they don't think they classify it as a legume. It's not kidneys proper. But it could be, that it resembles it in the daisa. I don't think that applies either.
Is it a grain or is it like a...
I don't think it's classified as a grain. It's grown near the grains, and that's why it's a big issue, because apparently it's grown near barley a lot. in the high altitudes or something. Right, or broccoli, you say. So you have to look in Rav Bundner's book. But it's apparently grown near actual Chametz Gomer, so that might be one of the problems. But Yair is recovering that the OU has a special Ashkacha that they watch, and it has an OUP. The ones that don't have OUP maybe shouldn't use, even according to the OU, because that wasn't necessarily watched as well. Because they don't need to care about the week that get mixed in, because there's no Isser to eat outside of Pesach. And some people say, before Pesach, you should be machmir and just check your grains that even if you're swarty, check the rice, make sure you can check your rice. If you eat rice, check your yichlus. But that this is pretty much the story of Kidius. I can end with a story that there was a, I think it was a Skolina Rebbe. This will be the end, I think I could do it in like 3 minutes. The Skolina Rebbe, after the Holocaust, a lot of the Jews moved to what was Romania at the time, and he noticed that everyone's going to be poor. He knew that he had the intuition to know that Pesach's coming up. We're not going to have proper amounts of matzah for everyone. So what did he do? He sent his chassidim out, and they mamish did all the work for the Rebbe. The Rebbe asked them to do it. They took wheat, they made it into matzah, and they worked very hard to try to produce as many matzahs as they could to provide for the Jews who were very poor, and they didn't have what to purchase matzah or to purchase the ingredients. So they would do it, and they would do all the work themselves, and they made it happen, and they would distribute the matzahs. So people heard that the Skolina Rebbe, who was giving out to the Gedolim, and everyone heard, and all the Jews started coming to him for matzahs, for Pesach. And one day, the Vizhester Rebbe sent his son, one of the Hagers, was Nifter, Mordechai Haber, Hager was just Nifter, on Friday, Erev Rosh Chodesh. He was 95, he was from a different generation. He was a special brand. He said that his base medrash, they was finishing shafts like every day. The Bachrim would learn a ton of Torah. He was a very special band. The Vision Serebis, so his great-grandfather sent his father, I think it was, maybe his grandfather, to the Skolina Rebbe for matzahs. So so happy to see the Vision Serebis son, you know, Baruch Haber, Hager. So he gave him the matzahs. He looked at him, he said, no, my father wants six. So Skolina Rebbe was like pained. He said, we don't have enough even for people here. How can I give you six? I can't do it. He's like, how can I go without six? My father told me to. Keep it up, aim. I need six. And I'm not going to leave here until you give me six. And he's very adamant about it. So he said, okay, what can I do? I'll give him six. He gave him six, and he sent him off. And he was very happy that he was able to get six, and he brought it to his father. Meanwhile, he's giving out more and more, and they're running out, and comes Pesach, and they've distributed all the matzah that they had. And Erev Pesach, who walks in? The Vision of his son comes back to Skolina. And he says to the Rebbe, here's three matzahs. So the Rebbe says, what do you mean? I gave you six. You probably needed six. He said, my father told me why he wanted six. When I got back there and gave him the matzah, he said, the Skolina Rebbe is such a tzaddik and he's such an Ohev Yisrael. And he's always worrying about people. He knew that the Skolina Rebbe was going to give out every matzah he had, and he wouldn't even worry about his own matzahs. And he would be honest, but he would give out all his matzahs to all the Jews. So the Vision Rebbe said, I'm going to send you, you're going to get three extras, so that when Erev Pesach comes, I'll send you back and give him three matzahs to be able to have for Pesach. And that's what happened. The Skolina Rebbe used those three matzahs for his Seder. Do you see that there's a lot of Nisan, we should be especially during Nisan, the Yirmei Geula, and we can tap into that spiritual energy of Nisan. That years ago, we were redeemed in Pesach. We were redeemed from Mitzrayim. What does that have to do with us now? But we have to talk about it, because, like we say in Shechianu, is a very important, there's a lot of energy here, even nowadays, that we can tap into the Geula. Hopefully the Geula will come in Chodesh Nisan this year. I'm here via Menu, and it'll be a schus for all of us for the Mashiach. Okay? So shkoyach to everyone for coming. There's some Chametz Gomer left over if you want to finish it before Pesach. Otherwise, we have Mincha in a few minutes.
Yeah.